On this Wednesday afternoon, let's check the futures markets and how trade ensued for the day. Jackie Vakes is on the phone line from the Stuart Peterson office right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, let's not start in Chicago, but in Washington, D.C., where there was, as we'll hear a bit later in this program from Dave Dickey's newscast, an admittance that it's highly unlikely the farm bill will come to fruition at least before the end of this year.
Well, as disappointing as that is, I guess it's not surprising in some respects. I know that there's been some very heated discussions between the Corn and Soybean Association and Mr. Lucas, as well as with the cotton and rice associations, you know, and that seems to be the biggest problem that we're facing is that. In fact, they were talking, from what I understand, Corn and Soybean Association was talking about a possible two-year extension, and then the other side is coming back and saying, well, maybe we need to decouple from the current acreage formula that we use, but if they do that, that could cause world trade issues, and it's really becoming just an absolute mess, you know. The Dairy Producer Margin Protection Program is just in limbo right now, and the problem that we face if we don't get an extension on this farm bill is that we revert back to the original bill, and that could see milk go to $6. So something's got to give here one of these times, but I don't hold a lot of hope for it finally being taken care of before the 13th of December either.
And just when you thought it was only the nutrition side that they were dealing with, we did have some hints, I suppose, of that in the last couple of months, certainly from our farm policy expert here on campus, talking about, well, you know, I think there might be other things behind the farm bill and its not movement and its non-movement at the moment. And lots of moving parts. We'll find out more as the end of the year comes nigh, I guess. Economy. We had 215,000 new jobs in November.
Yeah, that was really, you know, that was higher than any of the guesses, and they actually revised October up to 183,000 from 143,000. So both of those are good-looking things. Now, of course, what happened immediately after that was the stock market got jittery, dropped below 16,000 because they're worried about the Fed starting to taper bond buying. And, you know, the U.S. dollar just can't make up its mind which way to go. If they do it, taper the bond buying, I would expect to see the stock or the dollar go higher, and that would be negative to us on the commodity side. But, you know, so I think you're also seeing some short covering coming into the commodity side because of the whole picture that the economy might be better and there's things that are going on. But we certainly have a lot of things that affect the bottom line price on commodities.
Indeed, we do. U.S. dollar, in fact, is one of those things. You talked often about the export market, the U.S. dollar, and the impact it has.
Yeah, it's the truth. I mean, you know, we have no problems if the U.S. dollar goes higher as long as the currencies in the countries that we ship to actually come right along with it. Then the exchange rate really doesn't change at all. But if that's not the case, and, you know, of course, we're looking at that in Argentina. Again, just last week we were talking how they finally said, oh, they're not going to do anything, and now today they're coming out saying we're going to tighten control on that currency. There's a big threat of devaluation. And what does that mean to us in the U.S.? Well, the farmers down there are sitting on $630 billion U.S. dollars worth of old crop beans. And I really think the bottom line underneath all of this is that the government is trying to force sales on those beans by always threatening here because they collect a large amount of tax off of that, and that generates a lot of cash to them. So for us, it basically threatens our, you know, our nearby bean price. They've got a huge crop going on in Brazil, which threatens our new crop bean price, and so we just can never become complacent. And we have tremendous demand here in the United States for beans, but them shoving all kinds of beans onto the market in a fire sale certainly wouldn't help us at all.
So what do we do then about the 9, 10, 8 cent rise that happened in the bean market today? Anything?
Well, I certainly think that we did see some farmers selling today, and we actually, I believe, saw some South American selling come in, too. You know, beans were really strong through the overnight and into the early session, and then when we came out with the Stats Canada information with a large number higher on wheat and higher on canola than anybody ever guessed, that really kind of took the flame out of beans. But, you know, I think when we have the USDA report coming out next week, Tuesday, Todd, and I think that one of the things that'll be at the bottom of everybody on everybody's minds is, will we see an increase in bean demand? And I almost believe it has to be. We have 98% of the USDA's guess for the year sold already on export sales, and 46% of that shipped. And so, you know, granted, we can always have China cancellations. We do have some overriding Washington problems with China right now, too, because they are very angry over this, the fact that the U.S. seems to be siding with Japan on these islands that they're disputing in the East China Sea. And so you can never underestimate what kind of impact that might have. But, you know, it's you need to do something. They can't just sit back. Basis continues to be fairly good. And so I think, you know, if you look at the next size up or the next step up on January beans, we've got overhead resistance at that 1364 level. And if you look at bean basis being a negative 10 to 15 in a lot of places here in the U.S., I think 1350 cash will bring a lot of beans to market.
Hey, let's wrap it up. We'll talk about the corn, where we can discuss ethanol and livestock, exports, all those usage factors.
Yep. Well, we had a good sale again in Mexico today, a nice big export sale. Exports, we have 84% of the guests sold on that, but only 26% shipped. And, of course, we know that the market's nervous about China rejections. Ethanol use, right on pace, actually a little bit ahead of pace for the 4.9 billion usage, so that's a good thing. And we've got good margins in the ethanol industry. Livestock margins seem to be really good. You know, the biggest problem with livestock, that is putting on more weight because of cheaper corn. But when you look at March, I figure a range of 4 to 440 on March. Probably we had a close above the 20-day moving average today, which was very positive. Now, if we could maintain the weekly reversal that we have going right now, that certainly would put that 445 and three-quarter December-August low in sight for the March contract. So cross your fingers. Let's hope it works.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you. Have a good one.
You too. Jackie Vanks is with Stuart Peterson. Joins us on this Wednesday afternoon.